John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The Bible is written with profound, deep truths, but speaks to the matter of our need of salvation from sin on a level that is both profound and simple. So simple that a child can understand it. When answering the Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus paints a very basic, clear picture of the new birth. You have to be born into this fleshly world in a human body, obviously, and then you must be born again in the Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, nowhere in John 3 does Jesus mention or refer to water baptism. When he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, Jesus is contrasting our natural birth in the flesh with the supernatural birth in the Spirit. When you were born, something happened that, along with some painful contractions, told your mother that you were about to come forth and be born. Her water broke. I've been a close observer of more than a dozen children and grandchildren coming into this world, and in nearly every case, I think there was one exception for some reason, I got a call or a text saying, "Her water broke! The baby is on the way!" And that's what Jesus is referring to when he says, "Except a man be born of water." And that is confirmed in the next two verses where we read in John 3, 6, and 7, Jesus plainly says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Being born of water is to be born of the flesh. And that is normally a joyful occasion, as Luke quotes the angel of the Lord saying to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke 1, 14, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." Only when life is difficult, and examples such as Job when he was at his lowest point, and then Solomon looking at the end result of a life of wickedness, we see biblical statements about a natural birth being something of regret. Otherwise, a birth is something to celebrate and remember with joy. God marked the order of the 12 tribes of Israel, as we're told in Exodus 28:10, six of their names on one stone and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. As far as annual birthday celebrations, the Bible doesn't command such a thing, nor does it condemn such events. Cults and cultic extremists claim that since the only two actual birthday parties or celebrations mentioned in the Bible include the Egyptian Pharaoh in Genesis 40 verse 20 and King Herod in Matthew 14, 6 and Mark 6, 21, that this somehow proves that birthday parties are pagan. But just because pagans do something, it doesn't necessarily make it sinful. Pagans pray. Pagans eat. Pagans care for their children. Most of the time, pagans wear clothes. They brush their teeth. They attend religious services, feed the poor, clothe the naked, provide medical care for the sick, and so forth. The standard isn't to do the opposite of the pagans. Because pagans aren't always doing things that are wrong. They have the wrong God and wrong religion, but our standard is simply, what does the Bible say? And the Bible is clear in Romans 14 that holiday celebrations that are not explicitly forbidden in Scripture should be left to the individual to decide on whether they want to participate or abstain. Romans 14:5 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." The important thing, though, is that you have a second birth in which you have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing when we celebrate birthdays at Bible Believers Fellowship, verse 2 of the Happy Birthday song includes the words, "Happy birthday to you, only one will not do. You took the gift of salvation, and now you have two." That's reason to celebrate. God is so good, and we celebrate the gift of salvation made possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior.